2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. As you look at this, I know this morning's lesson was on 2 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul, God teaches us that he suffered much. If you read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you're going to find out he was beaten. He was scourged. He was in shipwreck. His life was filled with suffering after he got saved. He lived in a much harsher and violent time than we do now. Persecutions of his time were severe and bloody. In Paul's day, if you called yourself a Christian, your life was in your hand. Because Paul said that if we didn't have the hope of the resurrection, we would of all men be most miserable. I know that the hope of the resurrection made Paul one of the happiest men. I believe Paul was focused. I believe the Apostle Paul was intense and tireless in his work for the Lord, but he was not mean, negative, and did not walk around depressed just because he was the Apostle to the Gentiles. If you look at verse 3 there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 3, it says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation." I just want to focus on these verses this morning. There's so much here for all of us. If anyone is struggling or scared this morning, these verses can be such a help. First of all, I'd like you to know, God uses the Apostle Paul's testimony to comfort you and me, and I just touched on it, but listen closely. Here was a man that God is using to pen this. "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Here's a man who had many cruel and strong enemies and didn't know whether or not he was going to be dead tomorrow. And yet God still used him to pen the words, what? "Blessed be God." Blessed be God. He had a lot of people, a lot of enemies. It's easy to see that Paul didn't allow his circumstances, his trials, and his troubles to crush his heart. Paul could still say, and starts it with, "Blessed be God." Blessed be God. We could use the testimony of Job this morning. No one has ever suffered like Job. Just listen. When he lost his business and his children, he said, "The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. Then when God allowed Satan to take his health, and he had boils all over his body, from his head to his feet, so he lost his family. Still had his wife, praise the Lord, but he lost all 10 children, lost all of his businesses, and then he lost his health. His wife came up to him and said, "Why don't you just go ahead and cuss God and die?" And he said to her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" And all this did not Job sin with his lips. God shows us Satan's goal in afflicting Job. And I know this morning isn't there. We're going to just stay there in 2 Corinthians. But in Job 1:10, Satan said this, "Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now, touch all that he hath." And Satan said this to God, "And he will curse thee to thy face." That was Satan's goal in afflicting Job. He said, "You know, Job loves you because of all that you do for him. Job doesn't love you because of who you are. You take away from Job what you've given him and he'll curse you to your face. Let me touch what he has. Let me take his businesses. Let me kill his kids. And he'll curse you to your face." I looked up the word curse. It means words, in this sense, it means words uttered against God that he is evil or trying to hurt you. It doesn't mean cursing like we think, blankety blank. It's not talking that. It says when you say, "God, why is this happening to me? You must be against me." That's cursing God. And Satan says, "If I can just get those you saved, those you died for, to look at you and say, 'God, I don't trust you. I can trust you to save my never dying soul. But when I'm going through the hard times of life, I feel like you are evil and you are against me.'" And Satan says, "If I can just get your children to hate you because of what they go through, that's my goal." That's Satan's goal. No matter what you face, Satan's trying to get you to look at God and say, instead of trusting, that's Satan's goal. You see here, when Satan is allowed to afflict us, he likes to see us lose our confidence in God and His Word. When Satan surrounds our heart with bitterness, the heart does not have to be made bitter. Satan could not get any satisfaction from Job or the Apostle Paul. And listen, he shouldn't get any satisfaction from you or I either. Job glorified God instead of cursing or dishonoring God. When you're scared, take the example this morning of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And just say, bless the Lord and praise Him. When your heart is heavy, I can use this example, bless the Lord and praise Him. When you're confused, bless the Lord and praise Him. When you're discouraged, bless the Lord and praise Him. This is not the power of positive thinking. This is not psychological manipulation. It is not a cliche. Take your Bible and keep your finger there in 2 Corinthians and go to Psalm 149, right before Proverbs. Go to Psalm 139. I'd like you to think about this. To get God's comfort, you start praising the Lord. You praise the Lord in faith, and God gives you His comfort, and in many ways that He does that. But here, watch how important praising the Lord is. Psalm 149, second to the last Psalm, Psalm 149, look at verse number 5. Psalm 149 and verse 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Verse 6, Psalm 149, verse 6. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Praise God and carry your Bible, a two-edged sword in their hand. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. Then watch what happens. When you praise God and you're trusting in His Word, look what He says. Verse number 7 is, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. To bind their kings, the heathen, with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute upon them the judgment written. When hard times come, you're not supposed to think who I can get even with. Just let the high praises of God be in your mouth. And like the Apostle Paul say, blessed be God. And guess what God does? God executes, look here, He executes vengeance. God binds them. And then verse 9 says, to execute upon them the judgment written. God takes care of it when you praise Him. And God always takes care of those that praise Him. When you can say in the hard time, blessed be God. I don't know why this is happening, but Lord, You know why. Blessed be God. God says, I'm taking care of that person. And look at the last part of the verse. I think this is amazing, and I'd wish you'd go back and look at it. This honor have all His saints. A saint in the Bible, somebody that's saved. You know what? Something you have available to you that the world doesn't have? When you praise God, blessed be God, God takes care of you and meets your needs. This honor have everyone that's saved. I love that verse, and those verses mean so much to me. Man, when they're making fun of you, when it seems like people are misunderstanding you, just back up and say, Lord, I don't know why all this is happening, and Lord, this is really tough, but blessed be God. Blessed be God. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword carry your Bible in their hand. God's grace enables us to endure all of the assaults of the world, the flesh and the devil. God's grace is what saves us. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You're saved by grace is what saves you. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. It spells something, right? God says His grace is what saves us. Then God's grace is what strengthens us. You're in 2 Corinthians. Okay, you work. Can you go back to 2 Corinthians? Look at chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. God's grace is what saves us, and God's grace, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8, is what strengthens us. God's grace strengthens us. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and look at verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. I love verse 9, and He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. God's grace is what saves you, and when you're weak and can't take... Look, they say that Paul had an affliction with his eyes, and they would like probably run and things like that, maybe from seeing that bright light that he was struck off the horse with the day he was saved. I don't know. But it says he asked God, please. He had to have Titus and Timothy and several of his servants as God would give him the Word of God. He couldn't write it unless it was sometimes big letters so he could see it. He said, Lord, could you please take this affliction with my eyes away from me? Lord, could you please take this thorn out of my life? And God says, I'm not going to do it because I want you to depend on me. And my grace is sufficient because when you're at your weakest point, that's when I'm strong. Because every time you think you can do it, you lean on you. But when you can't do it, you lean on me. I'm telling you this morning, God's grace is what saves you. Amen. God's grace is what strengthens you to do what you feel. Lord, I could just do a better job if you would just help me with this. And God says, I'm not going to take the affliction. My grace, my presence, my help, my hand is what I'll give you instead of removing it. I wanted to tell you this morning, God's grace is what saves us. God's grace is what strengthens us. And God's grace is what separates us. You're there in 2 Corinthians. Would you go over a couple of books to Titus? Titus chapter 2. Here, God's grace enables us to endure all of the assaults of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Titus chapter 2. God's grace is what saves us, strengthens us, and look at this, Titus 2, look at verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And then what does it teach you after you get saved? Verse 12, teaching us that what? Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You say, God's grace saves you. God's grace saves you. God's grace strengthens you. And the Bible teaches you once you get saved, God's grace helps teach you that there are some things that you separate from. Ungodliness. Worldly lust. There's something, it's God's grace that lets you say no to you. But I want that. My flesh wants that. And God says, my grace teaches you after you get saved to separate. To separate from the world. There's some things that we're supposed to say no to. There's some things that God says, I don't want in your life. If it matches any of that criteria there. Any ungodly. Look, ungodly is not wicked. Ungodly means without God. That's an ungodly person. An ungodly person doesn't mean that they're dealing drugs and, doing drive-by shootings every day. It means they're without God. It means they don't want God. That's an ungodly person. They'd rather just do things without God. That's an ungodly person. God says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, let's go back to 2 Corinthians. Your heart may be breaking this morning. I wanted to tell you, your body may be sick, weak and full of pain, but God's grace enables you to endure it and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. God's grace, when you accept it, allows you to say this, God's in control and He can do whatever He wants with me. God's in control. I am not going to praise Him only when things go my way, and I am going to praise Him when my will conflicts with His will. Under all of life's pressures, God's grace enables you to say, what? With 2 Corinthians chapter 1, blessed be God. Blessed be God. Don't let Satan steal your joy, Christian. Don't let Satan overcome you and get an advantage over you. Accept God's grace and say this. Psalm 34 verse 1. Just listen, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Can I tell you something? Accepting God's grace, God gives grace to everybody in this room. But whether you accept it or not is your decision. And I've watched Christians say, God, look, no matter what you're going through, if you're going through a job loss, a financial reversal, a loss of a family member, all of it, God gives grace. Whether you accept it or not, God didn't make you accept that. And I've watched Christians when a hard time, instead of accepting God's grace, Because it's a decision. It's a decision. I've watched them get bitter against God instead. They could accept God's grace and say, God, I'm going to trust You that You're in control. And Lord, I don't know why this is happening. And instead of accepting God's grace, I've watched them do Satan, fulfill Satan's will and say, You're evil. You're doing this to destroy me. That will make you bitter. That will destroy you. Accepting God's grace is a decision. And you say, that's when you determine in your heart, you know what? This hurts a whole lot, but I'm not going to get bitter over it. I'm going to accept God's grace. Let His praise, let the high praises of God be in my mouth, and let me see here. And His praise shall continually be in my mouth. How about this verse? Psalm 71:8. Let my mouth be filled with Thy praise and with Thy honor all the day. In Psalm 71, just listen, a few verses down in verse 14, God says, But I will hope continually and will yet praise Thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth Thy righteousness and Thy salvation all the day. Nothing can lift your spirit like blessing God. When you say, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Nothing will help you. You say, Why? 2 Corinthians chapter 1 teaches us. Before He gets into the comfort, He says, Blessed be God. And if you're needing comfort, my goodness, one of the fastest ways to help you is praise the Lord. That's why singing is so important. I don't care what, Look, I don't care if you're tone deaf or not. You're supposed to sing. If you're saved, God likes to hear. I don't care. Look, to us, some of you may sound like a moose. Some may sound like an elk call. And the ladies may sound like duck calls. It doesn't matter. If you're saved, God likes to hear you sing. I don't care what it sounds like to us. I'm so glad Brother Garland sounds good. We have to put him in a section all by himself. All the moose calls, please go back in that corner. I said that to say, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. God says, if you're needing His comfort in the trial, praise Him. And Paul's testimony teaches us to bless God and praise His name. Can you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 again? Look at verse number 3. Watch this. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. There's so much in this verse, but the Apostle Paul knew this. Psalm 22 verse 3 says, But Thou art holy, O Thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. If our heart is willing to praise the Lord, then God is ready to inhabit our praise or bless us with His presence. The Lord's comfort is activated when we bless His name. Listen to this. I think of this verse a lot, Psalm 3 verse 1, But Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory. And then listen to this. The lifter up of my head. The Lord's that. How come? Because sometimes we walk around like this. Woe is me, right? And He is the lifter up of my head. When I read in Psalms, I find that He is the strength of my countenance. He's the reason I can smile. He's the strength of my smile. How come you're so happy? You're going through it? Man, I thought your house burned down. It did. But God's in control. I lost a lot of stuff, but blessed be God. He knows what He's doing, and God must have thought I didn't need it. It's all going to burn anyways. God just took it early. Amen. I love Christians with a good attitude, but I've learned this. I've learned this in life. Listen. Your attitude is how you handle your hard times. You can either give it to God and praise God for it, or you can get bitter. It's your choice. It's your choice. And this morning, I'd like to encourage you, if you would praise God, what you're going through, God can then give you comfort. It's our job to glorify the Lord and praise Him. Did you know the Lord? I've known many Christians who have not learned yet that worry never helps their problems. They would rather complain and tell everybody about them instead of praise God. There are some people you don't want to ask how you're doing, because they're going to tell you for the next 3 hours. How you doing? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Truck blew up, house. Man, I mean, then it's going to go down the list. And watch this. It does not bother me to hear your problems. When I get concerned is when every person you meet, you tell your problems. There's a problem there. You ought to have, and watch this. My only question is this. Christian, child of God, are you talking to the Lord as much as you're talking to everybody else? Because they can't help you. He can. Well, I gotta tell them on Facebook. Really? You keep pulling that stuff and they're gonna click unfriend you. This one's got a book to write every day. All I'm trying to tell you is please be careful. Please. Here, this scripture teaches us praise the Lord, and praising the Lord and blessing His name takes our thoughts off of our own trials and sorrows. I've told you before, most people don't pray about their burdens. They just meditate on their problems and their burden, and then they end up getting up from their knees more stressed because of the trouble that they didn't pray about. You prayed about that? Oh yes, I'm praying. I'm just a nervous wreck. So while they're praying, they're like, Lord, why is this happening? And Lord, you know this happened too. And then they're telling God what He already knows. And they don't give God anything. They just meditate on it. And then the fire, they literally get up off their knees and they didn't give God anything. They didn't say, Lord, I'm committing it to You. Please handle it. They just get up more stressed. Did you pray about that? Yeah, I did. Man, I don't think I want to do that anymore. You didn't pray about it. You meditated about how bad it was in God's presence, but you didn't ask Him one thing and you didn't ask His help. You just told God how bad it was. That's not prayer. That's not prayer. Our afflictions are like vitamin pills. Listen closely. If you swallow them down, why you don't taste them? Okay? You don't taste them if you just swallow them down. But if you bite them, you get a taste of their wonderful flavor. And if you chew on them, and that's just what talking about them does. The best thing to do is just let them go down quickly in faith. In the hard times, let them go down in faith that God has allowed them in your life for your good, and then quit worrying about it. Our praising the Lord and lifting His name disturbs the devil because he's working so hard to try to get to discourage us. Someone said, hey, let's sing a psalm and startle the devil. How come that startles him? Because he's working so hard at defeating us. If your groans and complaints are music to the devil's ears, then you can also grieve the devil when you determine in your heart, I'm not going to rob God of His glory. God is going to get praise from my life. I don't care what others say about me. I only care what I say about Him. I only care what I say about Him. Remember, can I just get you thinking for a second? When the eagle feels threatened while it's flying, it always does what? It takes off for higher altitudes. It soars. And it gets what? Out of reach. God says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. What? We get closer to God. Just run to the Lord. Just run to the Lord when you feel attacked, when you feel burdened. Praising and blessing the Lord gives you a taste of heaven. You say, are you sure? I don't know everything that the angels are doing, but I know one thing they're doing. The Holy Spirit's before the throne find it their honor and their privilege to praise the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Because they praise and bless the Lord in heaven, there's no better way of anticipating the joy of being there than praising Him while you're here. Notice look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Ready? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'd like you to look at, watch this. Look at the titles that God gives us of Himself. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If I stop there, we'll keep on looking at this verse, but first of all, He's my Father. He's my Father. Being weak doesn't bother me because my Heavenly Father is so strong. Being poor doesn't bother me because my Heavenly Father is so rich. I'm a joint heir of His Son, Jesus Christ. I love this verse. Romans 8:32 says this, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, How shall He not with Him freely give us all things? God says, I died for you. What do you need?
Well, I don't want to ask the Lord.
I gave you my Son. What would I not give you? I died for you. Ask me. What do you need? Do you need strength? Do you need confidence? Do you need God's presence? What do you need? God says, I'll give it to you. If you're saved, obviously. Notice this title. It says here, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the next title that God gives Himself. He's the Father of mercies. The only mercy I have ever known has come from God, my Father. In His mercy, He has clothed me. In His mercy, He has fed me. And in His mercy, God is taking care of me. All of my physical mercies and all of my spiritual mercies come from Him. And you can get all the mercy you need this morning from Him. He's the Father of mercies. That is written to you, child of God. I love Lamentations 3. It says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. There's one thing. It's amazing to me that God, tonight, there's several times in the Bible where God got fed up. God told Moses, back up. I'm going to kill him. I think I'm just going to start over. And it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His mercy. God has not given me what I deserve. He has not dealt with me after all of my sins. He has been merciful, and that is obviously through His salvation. How about this? Can I just get you to listen? He's the Father of mercies, according to that verse. Hebrews 4:15 and 16 says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Guess where the fastest place to get mercy and grace is? On your knees. At the throne of grace. He's the Father of mercies. Because the Lord Jesus understands you, He's made a way for you to have mercy and grace. Notice this title also. Are you there at 2 Corinthians chapter 1? Look at verse 3. Look at the last part of verse 3. And the God of all comfort. Now listen to this. No matter what you need in your pain, the Lord has it because He's the God of all comfort. No matter what you need in your suffering, the Lord has it because He's the God of all comfort. Just this name of the Lord should encourage you this morning. God is the God of all comfort. God can give you His comfort as you have need. Notice the last part of verse 4. It says here, who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Can I just comforted of God? There are some, listen closely, there are some comforts that God has nothing to do with. There's a drink out there, it's wicked, it's devil water, it's called Southern Comfort. It's a whiskey. God has nothing to do with that. God has nothing to do with that comfort. God is not the comfort. What people fly to in order to forget their misery many times causes more pain and misery. God is not the God of the comfort of drugs. God is not the God of the comfort of sex outside of marriage. God is not the God of the comfort of rock music or rap music. You say, but it makes me feel good. I'm telling you, it's damning your soul. Shut it off. It's going to kill you. It's taking the peace of God, especially if you're a child of God. God is not the God of the comfort of the nightclub. Well, I go there because I look, that's what you used to before you got saved. The nightclub is the lost person's church. Do you understand? And until they go to hell, if they don't get saved, that's where they go for acceptance, to be with people that understand them. We have church, amen? We get to sing the songs of Zion together, read God's Word, hear the preaching of the Word of God. This is our church, not the nightclub, and a Christian has no place in it. No place in it. Here, let me just give you a thought. I watch some mothers, and I know it's hard, the book written by Spock, damned about three generations. If you don't know what I'm talking about, there's a book on child rearing by some Dr. Spock. It was written in the 60s, and he's a filthy animal. And little stupid things in that book. Let's say, you know, a child is supposed to bathe with its parents. So that teach them sexuality. God says a child is not supposed to look on its parents' nakedness. The parents are supposed to be sacred, and when they do that, it causes the child to lose respect for the parents. So now we've got generations, obviously filling the, in Spock's book, he says, don't spank your kids. No, that generation and two more of them filled up the jails. Best child evangelism is spanking your children. They have to learn that with sin comes a judgment, and that's what spanking teaches them. Look, it's hard to raise children. I know that, okay? I've had five wonderful kids of my own, and the Lord has helped my wife and I. But can I just tell you something? I wasn't raised. I was reared. Amen? I was reared. Children are like canoes. They steer best when paddled from the rear. Do you understand? You can't raise good... I'm glad you enjoyed that. You can't raise good kids without spanking them. Timeouts don't work. Timeout. We don't want to warp their psyche. No, their psyche needs warping. They're little monsters. Amen. Amen. You can't raise good kids without spanking them. Listen, some things I'd like our church to know. Did you know God says every baby is born a liar? And they're always trying to manipulate? One of the hardest things for a mother to learn is don't hold the baby all the time. If you hold the baby all the time, you're going to spoil it. You say, but oh, I need to... No, you're tired of the crying. And guess what? The kid knows that too. So the kid was dry, not sick, and squawked, and you picked it up. So guess what you're teaching your children? That they can control you. And voila, society as we have it now. Everything is about me. Wah. They grow up. They don't stop that. Wah. They keep going. Wah. I'm telling you, you can't hold the kid every time it cries. I'm not saying that because I'm upset. I'm saying it because my generation knew that. My mom did. I've watched my wife help young mothers. No. Look, every wife that's had kids also knows this. There was times my kids would cry. And I knew they were fine. And my wife had to have this. She'd get it ready to get out of bed and... Nope. But honey, I... Nope. Stay put. But I need to go get... Nope. Baby's fine. Baby's fine. That's where daddy helps. That's where daddy's help. Look, I'm not for mistreating the kids. I'm not for neglecting the kids. But I think you know what I'm saying. And every wife needs her husband to help with that. Because what? A mother's heart's always going to go for that. I said that to say, be careful, not everything that claims to comfort you and make you feel good is of God. All comforts are not of God. If the comfort is not of God, then it'll bring misery and depression. I only want the comfort that the Lord provides. I don't want what the world has and its lies. Now, look at the most comforting fact of this verse. Are you ready? Watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation? Can I just testify this morning, in my darkest hours, the Lord has been so gracious to me and comforted me and did what only He could do. Can I just testify this morning that He's never failed me? When I first graduated Bible college, my wife and I were going through something that I didn't know you faced in the ministry. I wish somebody would have told me. And I'd never seen people that upset and stuff. And I remember walking along the dirt road praying, and I remember God's presence. You know when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace? And it says they didn't even smell like smoke when they came out. The only thing that was burned was their ropes. Have you ever thought of what they said? Because Nebuchadnezzar saw, hey, it looks like the Son of God's in there. Hey, you three, hey, come here. You know, picture what they thought of when they're walking out. They don't, you know, they went in like this, and they're coming out like this. Wow, we're walking in coals. And I think, I can't help but, here's the king and his men, and they're walking out of the furnace like this. And I can't help but think Shadrach, I don't know who said, but I can't help but they said, he was in there. He was with us. Did you see him? He was standing right by us. I can't help but if they thought this, and I don't know, but I wonder if walking out of the furnace saying, I want to go back. He was in there. They'd never seen Jesus before. Do you understand? They'd never seen the Son of God. But he was in the furnace with them. And I can't help but think, in my darkest hours and in my darkest nights, I can just tell you he was there. And at times, my life right now, praise God, I can say this, my life is, when I kneel to pray, I thank God for the peace. But I know what it's like to be in the fight and to feel like your life's at risk. And there's other parts of me that says, yeah, but he was there. And no, I don't live for hard times, but I remember his presence and I remember his hand and I felt him and he was there. He was as real and he was good and he's never failed me. And can I just tell you this morning, who comforteth us? The God of all comfort. He's there in your hurt. He's there in your pain. What a promise is this. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. For he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. You say, what kind of comfort does God give? Who comforts us? Well, one is salvation. Amen. That's a comfort that I'm saved. How about this comfort? The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. When your heart is breaking and the way is horrible, guess what? He's right there. Don't miss it. You've got something everybody else doesn't have right now. He's real close to you. You can talk to him anytime. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. I'm sorry for what you're going through, but can I just tell you, the Lord's extra close to you. He's extra close. Don't miss him. Don't miss him. Did you know when you cast your burden on the Lord, then you don't go looking for it later? God can comfort you when you leave the burden with him. Our burdens, trials, tribulations, and crosses change, but praise the Lord, his comfort never does. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know the Lord will help you. I know that. I know that. And can I just point out to you this morning, notice that the reason God lays troubles upon us. If you look at 2 Corinthians 1 verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, why? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. How come God does this? How come God allows us to go through struggles and hurts? I love this. It answers my question so you can help somebody else that goes through it. I've had the question, boy, as an assistant pastor, what do you do when you feel like the man you're working for doesn't understand you? I've been there before. I've worked for some wonderful men and I've had some men that I needed to move on with. But I know what it's like. I know what it's like. God gives us troubles so that we can help those who are in trouble. You see, a person who's never struggled feels very awkward when they try to help those who are struggling. It's hard to stop the bleeding when you've never bled. I didn't say you can't. I just said it's hard. It's hard. It's what probably some of the biggest help that a mother can get when she loses a child normally comes from a lady that's lost a child. And as painful as that is, it helps the one that's doing the helping say, this is why God let me go through this so I could be used to encourage somebody else in their trial. Whatever you're going through, God is preparing you to help somebody that will go, you're going to meet, that's going to go through the same thing. Listen, the Holy Spirit's the comforter. You need to have His comfort, the Holy Spirit's comfort, so you can tell others of what only He can do. If God is ever going to use you to comfort others, then you're going to have to let God make you into a comforter by helping you through the furnace of affliction yourself. Some people want to comfort the troubled, but they don't have the power to do it because they've run from struggles. They've run from struggles. Job told his friends, I've heard many such things, miserable comforters are ye all. Many people in trying to comfort end up causing more pain and opening the wound instead of making them better. There are trials I've been put through for the sake of the people here in this church. Hebrews 5 says this, every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Hebrews 5:2 says this, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. What that means is this, I'm not perfect, but when I work at living a holy life, God shows me, look, that's how come there's not a problem you're going to bring to me that I'm going to go, you struggle with that? I'm not going to hold your faults against you. God says, I am compassed about with infirmity, my sinful flesh, and God teaches me as a pastor. That's what it says, talking about the priests. God says, I let you be compassed about with infirmity so that you can help others. I'm having a hard time with my thought life. Can you help me with it? Yeah, I can help you with it. Because I struggle with that too. I've struggled with it. I know what it's like. I'm having a hard time with this. I've struggled with that. How did God help you? Let me show you what God did for me. Pastor, I'm having a hard time with my cussing. Let me help you with that. I can help you with that. God helped me. And God has let me be compassed about with infirmities. Why? So that I can help the people that call me pastor. Not, well, if I tell him something that I do wrong, is he going to hold it against me? No. Is he going to be disappointed in me? No. I've disappointed the Lord too much. How could I be disappointed with you? God has taught me in my struggles. And the reason God lets me struggle is so that I can help others. Amen. Not so, I'm not broadcast, I think you know you don't have a perfect pastor. Amen. But that's why we struggle. That's why we struggle. And sometimes, listen closely, sometimes a pastor goes through things that the people will never understand. There are pressures involved. This morning, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. This morning's sermon is the comfort of God. The comfort of God. And I hope it's a help to you. Let's pray. Father, please, thank you that you didn't leave us to ourselves. But Lord, I pray that please, you could, Lord, just how you call yourself the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And Lord, what you can be to each person here, if we'll let you. I pray that please, you would touch hearts this morning and strengthen thy people. I just need to ask the question, if you're here and you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, you say, I don't have the peace of God in my heart that I'm saved. But I'd like to know, is there anybody here? We'd love to take the Bible and show you how simple it is to be saved. You say, preacher, I'd like to know, but I'm not saved. Is there anybody here? You slip up your hand. And Christian, are you praising the Lord? Regardless of what you're going through, I'll encourage you. Can you say, blessed be God this morning? Blessed be God. Can you praise Him? Are you receiving God's grace to comfort you? He's got it ready, but it's a choice you have to make. The piano's going to play. Let's all stand. The altar's open.